This is the Ken and Curtis program right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. No Ken, no Curtis. Instead, it's Fitzy and Shime. A very cheery, sunny program for you here on a sunny Saturday morning. And we got Red Sox today. First pitch, 4:10. Pre-game 3:10, hosted by John Lyons. Red Sox on WEEI is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever with Ford by joining the Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150, official truck of the Red Sox. Fitzy and I have been talking Patriots most of the morning. We've mixed in some Sox. We mixed in that Shohei Ohtani highlight, which was exceptionally fun. And we've, you know, talked about the Cape, done some things, you know, doing what Fitzy and Shime normally do here on the program. But right now, let's go to the calls. Coach in New Hampshire wants to weigh in on the New England Patriots wide receiver room. Go ahead, Coach.
Coach.
Yes. Hey, good morning, guys. Three quick takes. Fitzy, when you did the Tom Brady night, you were phenomenal from a fan standpoint. Entertainment-wise, you have the it factor. I mean that. You were fantastic. Number two, if I, from a coaching standpoint, look at two sleepers this year, one is on offense, guard Laydon Robinson. Mm. One is on defense, cornerback Alex Austin. I see something in that kid. Now, one thing back to Robinson, I fear that Owenu's weight gain may hurt him as a tackle. My last point and the reason why I called, I believe Kayshon Boutte wins contested balls, and I think we've heard about that from other players in the past, that like N'Keal Harry or Devontae Parker, they simply had that reputation but couldn't. I think this kid has it. I do not want to see him cut. I would love to hear your reaction to everything, but especially the fact that Fitzy, you got it.
Coach. I don't know who, full disclosure, I don't know who Coach is. I didn't Venmo him. He's not a plant. We didn't stack him.
He's a paid
actor. Nice of you to say, Coach. Honestly, like that. Thank you, Coach, because I'll just say in terms of full disclosure, whatever it is that I've done over the course of my career or the couple of different careers that have cobbled together and patched for whatever my professional existence is, the culmination of which may very well have been getting a chance to be the pre-show MC at Gillette for Tom Brady night. It was the thrill and honor of a lifetime. And it's very nice of you to say that, Coach, because I had more fun than I'll ever even be able to attest to. And the fact that I had my two boys there to see their dad on the big stage was just, the words for someone who yaps as much as I do, the words, they escape me. And as for the rest of the call, I love Coach's takes and I love his questions and I love his concerns, Sean.
Yeah, I think they're very valid. It's tough because I don't think Kayshon Boutte's bad. I don't think he's great, but I don't think he's bad. I think he deserves a chance to continue to grow.
He's got sticky hands, Sean.
Unfortunately, it is a loaded room of mediocrity, so he just may not make it. It's unfortunate, but they have loaded room with guys that are making more money than him, and a lot of times the guys that are making the money are the ones that don't get cut because they don't want to pay people to do nothing. And so I just unfortunately don't know that Kayshon Boutte, being a late-round draft pick, will kind of make the roster. He might sneak onto the practice squad, might get picked up by somebody else that would give him an opportunity. But I don't know that Kayshon Boutte will necessarily make the roster. But his Laydon Robinson take, I don't think is a bad one. We talked about the offensive line combination. You're pretty geeked up about Laydon Robinson, so that's awesome.
Yep, I had said on the Six Rings podcast, and I'm happy to say here again as well, and if you don't subscribe, Spotify, Apple Pods, the Odyssey app as well, Six Rings and Football Things, the best post-game show in town and one of the best and fastest-growing Patriots podcasts in the region.
Live after the game tomorrow night, correct?
Yes, sir. And I'm happy to have, with Andy Hart now ascending to the afternoon show, he'll be a regular participant in Six Rings, but I'll also be folding in John Lyons, hopefully yourself this fall, Shime, and a host of special guests. And by the way, our first Six Rings podcast post preseason will be Monday morning live 9:30. Not set your clocks right now.
Ooh,
folks,
okay.
9:30 a.m. Across the Fitzy GFY socials and the WEEI socials, and then of course later available on the Six Rings feed. Devin McCourty will join me and Andy Hart for a live Patriots preseason analysis and recap.
Oh hell yeah, so that's Monday the 26th.
Monday the 26th, 9:30 live on the WEEI and Fitzy GFY socials. You can watch D-Mac join us for a nice 15-20 minute. How do you like the preseason? What are your biggest fears, the takeaways, the pluses and minuses? D-Mac is a you know, the guy called two games
best.
With Zoe and his brother in the booth on that unique broadcast, the sort of McCourty cast, and now he's going to be on Sunday Night Football tomorrow night watching the game from the studio as well. So nobody will have a better and fresher take on all things Pats. So please join us Monday morning at 9:30.
And having gotten to talk to Devin a few times now because he's joined the Greg Hill Show quite a bit over the last couple years, he is the best. He's such an awesome guy. He's really, really smart. He knows the game. So that should be a great Six Rings pod for you guys. But one of the things I wanted to get into here, Fitzy, was what the fallout could be from Sunday night. Last week, or just over a week ago now, Jacoby Brissett, bad game against the Eagles, whereas Drake May seems to be ascending. He seems to be moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Could a similar result Sunday night change anything for the outlook at the quarterback position for the New England Patriots in week one? I'm curious if Jacoby Brissett, I understand Alex Van Pelt says he's standing in the way of Drake May. Jacoby Brissett is QB1. We've heard that a bunch this week. But if he's bad again on Sunday night, and is there any way Drake May can play good enough to get the job in week one?
I think that's the question. It's not, can Brissett play poorly enough to earn the job, because he's a 9-year veteran. Like, he's almost vested
into his
NFL pension, but you do know what he is. But if Drake May goes out tomorrow night and gets a chance to run with the ones and then transition into running with the twos, and he's out there, and I don't know what, I'll be completely honest, I don't know what the Washington Commanders pass rush, let alone their preseason pass rush, looks like against this.
I don't know if Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne are going to play or not.
Right, and the days of Chase Young and Montez Sweat,
those guys are gone,
are in your rear view. So I don't necessarily know exactly what that's going to look like, but if he goes out tomorrow night,
not a big Cleveland Furl guy.
I remember he was a
fourth overall pick by the Raiders.
Resuscitate that career, holy smoke!
That's a Mayock and Gruden special right there.
Ooh, man, what a waste! But if they can, he may be to them what Barkevious Mingo was to the Patriots in 2016, a decent value pickup in a surprise Super Bowl season. So if he goes out there tomorrow night and is 11 of 15 for 125 yards, a touchdown, a couple of scrambles, picks up some first downs, and Jacoby Brissett just looks meh. Cut down day is Tuesday, and that'll be the focal point post preseason initially. But the airwaves are going to just be awash in start the kid talk over Jacoby Brissett, because unless it is just hey, you're in there to stabilize things until we make sure that everything's good. If you know that your line, if you found your best line, and you know who your receivers are going to be, you've got Bo Nix starting, you've got Caleb Williams starting, you've got
Jaden Daniels will be
you've
starting.
Got Jaden Daniels absolutely starting as well. Did you know, by the way, side note, Jaden Daniels is going as the 12th quarterback overall in fantasy thus far in drafts?
Yeah, he's actually the sleeper QB du jour. He's everybody's big favorite just because he runs the ball a lot,
right?
And that's just a fantasy cheat code.
Which is wild to think that he's actually going to be a starter in fantasy this fall already as a rookie. But, Drake May is the guy who's he's the tipping point guy in that equation, because Penix will not. McCarthy's out for the season. So is Drake May the one guy who comes in later? Does he come in much later? Or does he win the job? There's a chance. I would still say it's probably, to use triggering New England exponent phrasing, it is more probable than not that Jacoby Brissett still starts week one in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and it's infuriating because I think Alex Van Pelt, we played the clip earlier too, where he said the only thing standing in front of Drake May being a starting quarterback is Jacoby. And so in my mind, if that's the case, if Jacoby Brissett has two awful weeks of preseason games, just looks terrible again, Sunday night comes out, throws a pick, the offense is stagnant, it's disgusting, and Drake May has back-to-back great weeks where he looks really good against the Eagles, touchdown drive, awesome red zone keeper for the score, he does something similar against the Commanders, drives down, maybe has a couple good passes, maybe has a couple good runs. If that's the case again, your one reason for Drake May starting seems kind of out the window. Mm-hmm. If that's the only reason, and they've said prior that he's on a development plan, But clearly he would be ahead of schedule then. I don't really care what your plan is. If the guy ahead of him is a journeyman quarterback who has a like a well below 500 winning percentage in the NFL, and he has stunk for 2 weeks in preseason leading up to the NFL regular season, Drake May has to start week one. He has to. It makes zero sense to not start him. The only reason that John and I fought about this yesterday too, John Lyons and I, like, the only reason that you wouldn't start Drake May is like you're scared. It's scared football. It's like, I'm worried he's going to get hurt. But if that's the case, then why do you play anybody? Keep them all in bubble wrap. Who cares? It's football. It's a violent sport. People get hurt. Like, there's a chance that if you start Jacoby Brissett, he gets hurt in two plays and Drake May comes in. Hell, we saw what happened with Justin Herbert. Tyrod Taylor got stabbed in the lung by his trainer. And Justin Herbert came out. Like, it's,
I still can't believe that's how his career began. Tyrod Taylor getting his lung punctured by Dr. Nick.
Yeah, and so it's baffling to me that people would, like, if that scenario plays out where Jacoby Brissett is bad and Drake May is really, really good, why you wouldn't want to start him right away?
Yeah, if you think you've got your line settled, if you like your receiver room and you believe you've given him enough in terms of running backs, receivers, tight ends, and it is a play the kids and see who are your keepers, who are the guys that are going to be tent poles and fixtures in Foxborough, and who's not part of the solution but more part of the problem, then I say you hang them high and you let them fly as well. And I know we're up against it. I just want to go back to that receiver room thing again. So if Bourne starts on the pup,
yep,
and you know Thornton, Polk, Douglas, and Baker are all keepers, that leaves room to keep two, and there are three in contention with KJ Osborne, who hasn't done much this entire camp, let alone preseason, though they couldn't have showered more praise on him coming out of Minnesota.
Yep.
That he deserves to be more than just a three. He could be a two or a 1A. Rager, who has special teams and return value because he had a kickoff return back in Buffalo back in January for a touchdown, and he could possibly take one to the house with this new drop zone kickoff style.
Correct.
And then Booty. I got to say, honestly, I'm inclined to say, oh, well, I guess we overspent on Osborne. I'm keeping Rager and Booty, and then I'm going to give either Rager or Booty 4 weeks to prove that they belong on the roster. Basically, I'm the joker. I'm snapping a pool
until Kendrick Bourne comes back, kind of thing.
Yes, and saying, like, you two guys fight this out. Because what's the upside with KJ Osborne?
It doesn't seem like there is much. Like, he's not going to get any snap. Like, he's behind two rookies, Pop Douglas and Kendrick Bourne, at the very minimum.
Correct.
So, yeah. So, look, I think you're probably right. If Bourne is starting the season here on the pup, like, you have those two spots. Rager and Booty seem to be the guys to me. Like, you should cut your losses with KJ Osborne. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if they will pay a guy to do nothing. It seems like right now that doesn't seem to be their mentality.
Sorry for stepping on your verbal toes
good.
The same way that I believe Elliot Wolf is cutting his losses or cutting the losses of the franchise with the selection of Laydon Robinson, R.E., you know what? I'm not a Moffy guy. I'm not in on Jake Andrews, and Cole Strange is a bust, and he's
Cole
injured
Strange
for the majority
stinks.
This year. Yeah, they went and found a guy like, this guy's going to fit for the Alex Van Pelt offense. We think he's a value pick at guard, and he's going to be one of those guys that come, you know, maybe November, people are saying like, oh, I can't believe that Laydon Robinson fell to the fourth round of the Patriots. This guy is a mauler. Great. That's awesome. Make your own team. Don't live on the mistakes and the bad decisions of the past. And if you made one on your own with KJ Osborne, like, he's a fine receiver, let him go sign with the Browns. Let him go sign with the Steelers. Let him go elsewhere and start your kids and figure out who are your keepers.
617-779-7937. What are you looking for in the Patriots' final preseason game Sunday night against the Commanders? It's Fitzy and Chime here filling in for Ken and Curtis. But right now, Jacob's going to get you caught up with what's trending.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox were defeated by the Diamondbacks last night by a score of 12-2. Brian Baio earned the loss after he allowed 5 earned runs in 5 1/3 innings. Rob Ref Snyder hit a home run in the loss, and he was quoted as saying, "We stunk it up tonight," after the game. The Sox continue to struggle at home. Their record sits at 29-33 at Fenway Park. They also currently sit 3.5 games outside of the third wild card spot as the Minnesota Twins lost 6-1 last night to the St. Louis Cardinals. Alex Cora had this to say after the game.
The inability to kind of get any momentum going at home, how much does that frustrate you to come home after a good trip and first game out of the shoot.
Yeah, today was kind of a blah. Not much going on, right? So we just got to be ready for tomorrow. It's not like a preparation, you know. It's not that we're preparing different on the road. Like I said, you know, we got to figure out here and start playing good baseball at home.
Alex Cora also said that Tyler O'Neill is day-to-day after he hurt his finger during batting practice prior to the game. The Sox are back in action today at 4:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Hall of Fame Joe Castiglione and Will Fleming are on the call. Cutter Crawford is on the mound for the Sox. Zach Gallant for the Diamondbacks. The Sox lineup has not been announced yet. John Lyons has the MassMutual pregame show at 3:10. MassMutual Insurance Planning Investments. Some breaking news out of the NFL. The Browns have traded defensive tackle Chris Williams and a 2025 seventh rounder to the Bears for a 2025 sixth rounder. And some other games to look out for around the MLB with wildcard implications. Cardinals at Twins at 7:10 and Phillies at Royals also at 7:10. Shohei Ohtani joined the 40-40 club last night after hitting a walk-off grand slam against the Rays. College football begins today with FSU versus Georgia Tech in Dublin at 12. Patriots preseason continues tomorrow as they play the Commanders at 8 p.m. and the Revolution play tonight against Montreal at 7:30. My name is Jacob Lassner and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This is the Ken and Curtis program. No Ken, no Curtis. It's Shine and Fitzy with you here in the final hour. Leading into Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford from 12 until, I believe, 3:10 when John Lyons takes over for pregame. Fitzy, it's been a fun little day so far. I got to say, it's been a nice reunion. Haven't gotten to speak to you really on the radio in just over a month and a half. So it's been a nice little day, I'd say. A lot of Patriots talk today.
Yeah, and you know, Shime, you know me, and I think you like conducting radio the same way as well. While there are a lot of people that like approaching their meal, since most of my references always revert back to Star Wars craft beer or food.
Always.
You know, there are certain people that like their sports radio or their programming in general to be laid out like a hungry man meal, if you will.
Ooh,
something
yeah.
Where like, and listen, don't
different
don't
compartments.
Get me wrong. Love me that dirty fried chicken. Love the little brownie and the mashed potatoes and the corn.
Yeah.
And then there are some people like myself that just don't mind going back up to the buffet one and two and three times and mixing the food together.
That's only three times? Maybe like six.
That's our approach, though.
Like, in my pre-awakened days, it would have been like eight.
Holy smokes.
No, I'm just kidding. Maybe not.
Where are you right
times.
Now, by the way, on that particular journey?
So I've lost, with Awaken, I lost 45 pounds. I feel tremendous. Yeah, since the new year, I am down over 50 pounds. It feels fantastic.
Boy, look at you. So you're in the maintenance phase now, and you are maintaining grandly, huh?
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, it's been awesome. It's been a fun summer, and now I'm starting to really get into the gym, starting to rip it a little bit, going to try and swell up a little bit. Not like sweat, like get swole is kind of the phrase I was
looking for. Oh, so you're going to be Coach Todd Swoles over here.
Yeah,
huh?
You know, trying to. Yeah, I want to look like Dan Campbell a little bit, you know? Got the goatee. I want to be ripped to the gills. Maybe not quite as tall. Probably going to have to go full bald, but you know, it'll be good. It'll be close.
Everything I do for you guys, you have no idea how much I love you. Grr.
We're gonna go out there, we're gonna bite a kneecap, and then we're gonna get up and we're gonna spit it back in your face and be like rawr, and then we're gonna bite the other kneecap and rawr.
I love
I don't
that
care
guy.
If you have two ass cheeks and one butt, I will kick your ass.
That guy's the best.
Where are real quick, as we've been, you know, steering heavy Patriots, but you and I are such giant football and NFL fans at large that it's okay to steer into this momentarily.
Yeah, for
where
sure.
Are you with the, like, who right now, before you have to, like, lock in your picks for division winners, conference finalists, and Super Bowl participants preseason, because we all play that silly game, where are you, like, who's kind of your clubhouse leader for an NFC favorite right now?
I really like the Philadelphia Eagles.
You do. Big yeah. Bounce back year for the Eagles.
I'm a big, big, big believer in the Eagles. And Fitzy, it's funny you mention all that because I am, as you know, a bit of a nerd, a bit of a weirdo. I have already gone through, picked every single game in the NFL season and have my division winners, conference winners, Super Bowl winners, the like, everything. I picked every
you're
single
all laid
game.
Out.
Wow. Yeah.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, it's
ooh, I love that. So tell me, how outrageous do you believe? So my, it's probably, I'll bet it for fun. I think I actually already have, but if not, then I'm going to. So my sort of dream Super Bowl, if you will, obviously it's not likely to involve the Patriots.
Sorry, everybody, even coming from the Foxborough fanboy.
My dream Super Bowl of the teams I think would be the most fun to see match up at 59 in New Orleans in February 2025 would be Texans-Packers.
Yeah, so that seems to be a lot of popular picks, right? Everybody loves the Texans. Everybody loves a lot of people. A lot of people are on the Packers. I think the Packers are still another year away. I think there's some holes there that they need to kind of address. I'm not sure exactly how the receiver group is going to pan out. There's a lot of young, talented players there. I really, really, really like Jordan Love, but I kind of expect them to make a first or second round playoff exit.
Yeah, but it's so funny because both the Lions and the Packers last January each had a chance to knock off the 49ers, and each probably is still kicking themselves for not representing the NFC in Super Bowl 58. And I wish it was somebody else as well, but the Niners found a way, I guess, when it mattered most. But I don't know, just something about Jordan Love to me was the... You know, every postseason presents a breakout player. I think Jalen Hurts became the breakout player of two postseasons ago, and he's probably still kicking himself for not being able to put away the Chiefs in 57. Jordan Love, like that game against Dallas and the way he played for the majority of the game against the 49ers, like he has risen, he has evolved, he has landed, he has arrived. I think he's going to be a force for years to come. And the fact that the Packers, like you're in on them maybe being here, but it's they need one more year to really be the force that they could potentially be in the NFC and the NFL overall. Okay. Just the fact that that team is so young and all the receivers and the tight ends are all like first, second, third, like they don't have any major veterans save on offense, basically, except for like Josh Jacobs, who, by the way, as good as Aaron Jones was on the ground and in the passing game, like we don't even know, like he may take that offense to the next level this season.
Yeah, there's really that chance. I love the Jordan Love for MVP bets. I think those are totally in play. That offense could be electric, like an absolute dynamite offense, kind of like what you got out of the Lions last year. Very similar in that regard. I just think they play in a very tough division. I just have question marks about that offensive skill group, just on how they're going to grow moving forward. Will Christian Watson stay healthy? Like, what actually is Never. Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Dubs? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious on that. So for me, there's still some question marks there. They're definitely going to be a competitor and a contender, though. I have no doubt. But for me, my Super Bowl, as it currently stands, is the Miami Dolphins and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Now you and I had a
nightmare
for
Pats fans.
You and I had a wonderful conversation about not drinking alcohol before you got behind a microphone, Christopher.
Yes. Yep.
The Dolphins?
Yes.
They are such January frauds. They are such pretenders, not contenders.
I know. But so here was my thought process. I was going through the schedule. I think they kind of own this division. Like, I think it's a 5-1, 6-0 type division year for them. I think they own the Bills. They absolutely own the Patriots. And I think they will dominate the New York Jets as well. I think there is a chance. Mm-hmm. My prediction for this season is Miami might have the most explosive, dynamic, quite possibly the greatest running game performance we might ever see out of a football team.
There is zero chance, unless you think Devon Achane is blockchain, unless you think this guy is going to erupt this season. Like, he's good, but I think he's a little undersized while he's fast AF. And then also, like, there's no way Mostert gets 21 touchdowns.
Fitzy, I think there's a chance that they could possibly have 2,000-yard running backs this year.
Come on.
I think they're the best offense in football. I think Mike McDaniel is so creative, and maybe I'm nerding out a little too hard, but I watch what he does with offenses and the way he's evolved the motion, right? It was the first year as head coach, it's just like, all right, we're going to put everybody in motion. And the key is get Tyreek Hill a head start. Now, yep, I'm going to adjust the motion and make it like this weird half motion for Tyreek Hill. And so he is in great positions all the time, and we're just going to funnel him the football. Now what he's doing is he's taken that half motion and he's applied it to guys like tight ends, a guy like Jonnu Smith, but done it in a way that affects the run game. It allows the tight end to get a different blocking angle, create different lanes, create different angles.
angles for the running back to attack. And the key is getting that guy like Achan the speed sweep to the outside, mm-hmm. where he's then going to just be able to go to the races. Or your guy Mostert, who hits in between the tackles. And it's like, it's this crazy two-headed monster, and I think the one thing Tua is really good at is decision-making. Like, his quick decision-making at the line of scrimmage is really, really good, and I think that is going to play a huge factor into this. I think it's going to be this crazy read option, heavy motion mm-hmm. type offense that could result in one of the crazier run games we've seen in the NFL in the last at least 20 to 25 years.
Two things on that front as well. Look, I still don't think the Dolphins win the Super Bowl, but I do think their offense is something else this season. One, I thought last year up until I think either he got injured or slowed down a little bit towards the end of the year, I thought Tyreek Hill was the front runner for the majority of the season for the MVP last season.
Yeah, because he was on pace at one point to break the single season receiving record.
Correct. And I don't think he's gotten slower yet. And I don't think he's going to get slower anytime soon. The man is just an absolute X-Man. He's a mutant when it comes to his ridiculous kind of speed and the way he changes gears and direction so quickly and then can just turn on those unbelievable jets. So there's a reason why he's going top five in fantasy right now in drafts. I think his ADP is like three overall right now. And two, I'll put my hand up. I'll take a lap. My bad, sir. I forgot that they stole Jalen Wright in the fourth round.
Yep, exactly.
The depth at running back is insane. Later than the third round in the NFL draft, and he could be a, you know, when Achan or Mostert is at, like, you can actually give all three backs 10 carries to keep those legs fresh and not put miles on the tires, and you could have three 800-yard backs.
Well, that's the thing with Achan last year, right? Like, his yards per carry was so massive. Ridiculously high. The leader in the clubhouse basically is Jamaal Charles, right? Like, he was just over 5 yards a carry, which is something you never see. Like, Achan blew him out of the water.
7.8 yards per carry last year.
The guy only needs 10 carries in a game to get 100-plus yards. Like, that's the kind of runner he is and the breakaway speed that he has. And so I really like Miami's offense. And the key, I think, for them, right, is the only way that that happens, the only way they get to a Super Bowl is, A, they have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. You have to be the one seed. You cannot travel in the playoffs, because if they end up in Kansas City in 5-degree weather again, they're going to lose. It's just the way it is. And two, I think somebody else has to knock off Kansas City, which is what I had in my playoff predictions. I think Joe Burrow will knock off the Kansas City Chiefs once again in the playoffs in a rousing Ooh. Upset once again. So that's kind of my prediction. I don't predict a three-peat. I don't even think they get to the AFC Championship game. That's kind of Yowza. Those are my big predictions.
I love big hot takes at the tail end of a show. What about where are you with Buffalo? Do you think? See, I know Dalton Kincaid is rocketing up the fantasy ADP charts right now.
Khalil Shakir, I love him this year.
Me too, big fan. I think a lot of people think that Kincaid may be their leading receiver and could enter that sort of Sam Laporta top tier. NFL tight end chat as well. Where are you? But I think Buffalo's regressed on defense to a point where they're going to be in some struggles, and Josh Allen is going to be gassed by the end of the season.
So this is my Josh Allen MVP year. Like, if there's a guy who's going to do it, like, it's going to be because everything's on Josh Allen. And so for me, I think Buffalo makes the playoffs. I don't think they win the division. Obviously, I have Miami. But I think Buffalo sneaks in the playoffs, and they probably lose in, like, that second round of the playoffs. I think Josh Allen's that good. Like, it's hard. Like, the only guy he loses to is Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes is just in a different class. It's like saying the only guy you lose to is Tom Brady. It's just different. And so I just think Josh Allen is that good. And so I'm gonna ride with Josh Allen over everything else. I think everything else could be chaos, and Josh Allen's just so good that team's gonna be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo should be. I'm fascinated. Again, I think the Ravens are the class of the AFC North, but
correct.
You could see at least two teams, maybe potentially three playoff teams out of there. The Texans should be the class of the South, and the Chiefs should not have any problem, even with Jim Harbaugh now out in the AFC West running the division that has been theirs now for a decade or so.
Well, so that's my big curveball, is I actually don't think the Texans win the South.
Who do you think wins the South?
I have the Indianapolis Colts winning the South.
Oh, my word.
But that's my big dart. So
with Richardson or Flacco under center?
Richardson. So my big thing is every year when I enter an NFL season, I love to pick a top of the board guy to win MVP and a deep down the board guy. My guys are Josh Allen and Anthony Richardson. You can get Anthony Richardson 35-1, 40-1 in some spots, 30-1 in others, depending on where you're shopping, what sports book you're using. Anthony Richardson to me screams 2019 Lamar Jackson. You get a little bit of him the first year. You don't get the full picture, but you see enough where there's flashes. There's a storyline behind it. I think Shane Steichen's one of the more underrated offensive minds right now in the NFL. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he is able to do and the creativity that he has. And so I think as long as, again, this is all barring that Anthony Richardson can play 17 games. We saw last year he got hurt like twice in five games, and one of them knocked him out for the season. So it's all banking on the fact that he stays healthy, but you can't bank on injuries. So for me, I love the Colts. I think the Colts roster is really good. I think their secondary is their biggest question, but I think they can win a lot of regular season games, and then I'd have them losing in the first round of the playoffs to the Texans, right? So for me, it's basically Miami, Baltimore, Kansas City, Indy are your division winners in that order seeding-wise, and then you get Houston, Cincinnati, Buffalo. And so that's why I think Houston would go into Indianapolis and win in the playoffs, which is probably in a lot of people's books more important than winning the division in the regular season.
Wow. Unbelievable. These are some scalding preseason takes. I love, see, your NFL is a different NFL than mine, and you're not afraid to go out on the limbs that you do for these takes. And when you nail them, you get to nail them and you get your victory laps. And if not, you're also good at taking your laps and, you know, owning up to why in the first place you decided that you went out on the limb of that take. So,
yeah,
and good for you. You're a man of your conviction. I appreciate that.
You got to take some swings. And the NFL season is crazy, right? Every year, there's 14 teams that make the playoffs. On average, it's like 6 or 7 brand new teams are going to make the playoffs. And you have to find them somewhere. You know, like a lot of people like the Jets this year. I don't particularly love the Jets. I think they're good. I think they're just going to miss out. Like, so for me, I needed some wild cards. For me, it's Indianapolis is going to make it in the playoffs. And then Cincinnati wasn't there last year, so they'd get in. And then in the NFC, you have to kind of look around, and it feels very chalky outside of Atlanta. But, you know, you can find some curveballs to throw in there. You got to find some different teams. You got to take some swings. The NFL seasons always are crazy. There's always things that surprise you that you don't predict. If you could predict it, it wouldn't be fun. So that's why you got to take some swings here entering the NFL season.
Oh, absolutely do. And what is it? There's usually like 3-4 teams return, but there are 3 teams that usually turn over as far as the playoffs go. I know the Texans were a surprise playoff team last year. Are they good enough? Is the infrastructure and the expectations solid enough? Would D'Amico Ryans, can CJ Stroud handle coming back with people believing that
they're gonna have a harder schedule this year than they did last year? Like, those things matter.
Also, you know, like they've just, like adding Steph Diggs, who wants to get that one final contract, so you're probably going to get the better, humbler, more focused version of him, even though he may be, I won't say washed, but he only has 4 gears, not 5 the way he used to. Tank Dell, my guy. God,
I love him.
Regret the Patriots not drafting him for the rest of my mortal existence. I love that guy. And if he doesn't get hurt, watch out. Just all I'm saying, and they added Joe Mixon, who represents a massive upgrade as well. And people are already talking about Stingley Jr. as a defensive player of the year candidate because he's that good at corner. So again, I'm sticking with my pick of the Texans as an AFC championship competitor and winning the AFC South.
Yeah, I think I had them losing in the divisional round, right? They beat the Indianapolis Colts in the wild card round, and then I think I had them losing to the I forget who it was. I'd have to go back and look. But I have them losing in the second round. Either way, like I think they're a really talented team. They're going to be fun to watch. They're definitely, in my book, a playoff team. I think there will be some regression. I personally don't love the Steph Diggs addition. That's the one thing to me I think could create some chaos, especially earlier in the year when he's demanding the ball and CJ Stroud's like, dude, look, I'm throwing a Tank Dell. I'm throwing a Nico Collins. These guys are awesome too. Like, suck it up and deal with it. And we'll see if Stephon Diggs throws a hissy fit or not. And that's kind of the curveball for me with Houston, especially earlier in the year.
All right, I know we got to catch a break and then wrap up the program, so I'll chum the water with a couple of blazing hot takes on the way out the door, and we can give our predictions for the Pats game tomorrow night and what we will be talking about respectively on the post game show tomorrow night into Monday morning, and of course you on the Greg Hill Show Monday at 6.
Perfect. This is Fitzy and Scheim here filling in for Ken and Curtis right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. It's the Ken and Curtis program here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. No Ken, no Curtis. It's Scheim and Fitzy here in for you with the final segment. Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, coming up next, leading into Red Sox baseball with a pregame at 3:10 with John Lyons, Mass Mutual pregame show, and the Red Sox first pitch right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network is at 4:10 this afternoon. Fitzy, it's been fun, man. 3 hours flies by. For us, we just is light work, baby. We're crushing it.
This has been an absolutely a breeze of a three-hour high-energy sports hang, which is what, you know, I believe most of our shows together are, whether they're on holidays, weekends, whenever, and how you want to start your Saturday. Like, I don't need to get crushed with a bunch of advanced analytics, data, or absurd takes on a Saturday that somebody has been sitting on all week long that they were dying to unload.
Oh, you mean in the last segment?
Or you mean like this segment where I'm going to drop things on you, like if I'm in New England? Okay, here's two. Both of these are sports-centric. We don't really have time for some of the pop cultural or lifestyle sports takes.
Okay.
I've got 1,000 of those as well. And my top take overall might be that it was the worst decision I ever made getting my son an Apple Watch so he can now make Apple Cash requests of me 5 times a day. Because every time you throw $5 and $10 on your kid's watch, you're like, it's no big deal. Add it up over the course of the month and it's enough to pay for a freaking car payment, a new bicycle, all your streamers,
kids,
the pair
man.
Of boots that I've wanted. My God, it's absurd. I got 1,000 other ones, but right now I'll just say this. My two sports takes that'll probably leave you without the pair of socks you wore into studio. Number one, if I'm the New England Patriots, if Jacoby Brissett doesn't even play that well tomorrow night, I'm going into the season with Drake May, Bailey Zappi, and Joe Milton as my three quarterbacks.
You would cut Jacoby Brissett?
See ya!
Ooh, that's kind of hot. I don't hate that because, Bailey Zappi, you know what he is. It's not that great, but it's serviceable. Yeah, it's a good
backup
to be.
Yes.
And you definitely want to keep Joe Milton around and develop him in the back. And
Bazooka
he's just
Joe,
fun.
Are you kidding? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So there's my hot football take, and I'm not just saying that for reactions. Like
I like it.
Jacoby Brissett is a fine backup, but like it depends on how much of that.
One way to show you have control. Jerod Mayo cuts Jacoby Brissett. I like that.
And my other one, and this is in the past, but this debate continues to swirl around Boston sports at large. Personally, I don't think Jason Tatum played well enough to earn the Olympic time. People are still bemoaning that he didn't get on Steve Kerr's Team USA.
Oh, Fitzy, I love you. That's a good one. Okay. All right.
I don't. I really don't. Honestly, until the age and era of LeBron and the Durantula and Steph Curry playing as well as they did on the biggest stage, until they are knocked off of their spot or don't deserve their time, then Jason Tatum is going to have to take that crown, the time, and the praise from them. Sorry. That's how I feel.
Hey, you know what? I respect that, Fitzy. Good job by you.
Thank you. I know, I waited till the end of the show to drop those, and then it's like people will probably want to call in like, give me a chance to go after that idiot.
You got
to
leave him hanging, Fitzy. You know, leave him wanting more. That's kind of how you leave him lingering.
All right, so tell me, Shine, let's make a crazy prediction on the way out the door. What is the lead topic tomorrow night for me and Hart on the very late night Six Rings postgame show, and what do you think will be your lead Monday morning on the Greg Hill Show?
Jacoby Brissett stunk if Drake May doesn't start week one. Epic failure by the organization. Boom.
There you go. I think that across all disciplines and platforms, I think that'll be the talker.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in today on this beautiful Saturday morning. Fitzy, well done by you, my friend. It is always a pleasure working with you here. It was Shyman Fitzy filling in for Ken and Curtis this week. The Rob Bradford program here. Baseball isn't boring. Coming up next, leading you into Red Sox baseball right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. See ya.